Three words that are going to be stuck in your head by the end of today's episode, they are my health record. You may have heard of these words before and not given them much attention, and therefore don't know the significance they carry for your future health. However, if you're one of those people with a complicated medical history, you may have wished at some point for a service that could improve the communication process between all your different doctors so that you're not constantly having to repeat your life story every time you visit a new doctor or a specialist. And it looks like your wish is about to come true. In fact, for many people, it has come true already. And that wish is in the form of those very three words, my health record. Kind of along the same lines as MyGov, MyRego, MyNetBank, all of which are services that give you the flexibility to use the internet and any internet-connected device to take care of your various personal affairs at your convenience, My Health Record is another new service that gives you control over your healthcare in an organised, secure way. Yes, I know many of us have only just warmed up to the idea of having our personal information floating somewhere in cyberspace where who knows who has access to it. And for that reason, many people until this day won't even sign up to social media because they value their privacy too much to take any risks. That's all totally understandable, especially if we're talking about the older generation who grew up doing things with paper and pen and whose idea of secure information was a locked filing cabinet in the study of their home. Overall methods dealing with tangible elements which could be seen and physically handled by them and them only. This is in contrast to the millennials, also known as Generation Y, who were introduced to technology and the internet pretty early on in their life, or perhaps even Generation Z, or Z if you prefer, who were born into a world already dominated by high-speed internet and smart devices, a generation who has replaced paper and pen with a laptop or notebook. Replace the simple chalkboard with an electronic whiteboard, replace textbooks with downloadable apps, replace the landline phone with a mobile phone, and replace the process of queuing up at the post office, bank, or transport department for lengthy periods with online services that can have your bills paid, applications submitted, and banking taken care of with a few clicks or touches of a screen. Not to mention replacing face-to-face interaction or socialising with social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and who knows what other new ones have come into fashion while I wasn't paying attention. All of this has opened up a world of information and convenience to a generation who have grown accustomed to instant gratification, wanting it now and getting it now. And they wouldn't have it any other way if you ask them. But for those who came before the Generation Ys and the Generation Zs, all this fancy schmancy technology and the notion of having some hypothetical cloud on the internet that stores all your personal information does cause a little bit of anxiety. But as the millennials would tell them, once you become familiar with technology and the internet, you'll never look back because it makes life so much easier and saves so much time. I can also add to that saying that it can help you stay organized and saves you collecting mountains of paperwork, which actually adds to your workload when you consider all the sorting, filing, searching, and archiving involved. As a matter of fact, many people who started off being technology skeptics and internet critics will now admit to loving the ease and convenience of doing things online from the comfort of their couch. And in looking back at how they did things before technology came onto the scene, they wonder how they ever managed. This is certainly the case with what we know as internet or mobile banking, a concept that was not very well accepted when it was first introduced, but is now being used by more than 8 million Australians in an average 4-week period. In fact, internet and mobile banking have now overtaken visiting a branch or telephone banking as the preferred method of doing banking. According to Roy Morgan's survey conducted in 2017, it was found that in June 2013, more than 35.8% of bank customers used a branch in an average 4-week period, compared to only 25.3% using an app on a mobile phone or tablet. Fast forward to June 2017, and mobile banking was being used by 41.5%, well above the 26.5% using branches. If these statistics point to anything, it's that people are feeling more and more confident using online banking. And it's my personal opinion that we are seeing similar trends when it comes to using other online services. People hesitate for a while, but then once they try a service and see the benefits of using it, it not only becomes accepted, it becomes a preference. And this is what the government is hoping will happen with one of the newest online services called My Health Record, which, as expected for a new online service, is currently facing some scepticism and criticism from some people in the community. Having said that, many people have been welcoming of the new online service, with 5.9 million Australians already signed up for a My Health Record, and I can see that number rising very quickly in the not too distant future because of what I personally consider to be a revolution in the way we receive healthcare and have our health issues managed. Many of you have only just heard of My Health Record. None of this is making any sense because you're not even sure what this service offers, let alone how you stand to benefit from it. So as not to risk confusing you further, I'll leave the explaining to the expert who'll join me on the program in a few minutes to cover the A to Z of My Health Record, and in doing so, clear up the confusion along with any misconceptions you may have developed regarding this online service. The expert is someone who has deep insight into My Health Record, how it works, why it works, and what it means for the future of healthcare in Australia. And he's able to explain it from the perspective of a doctor who can use it as a very effective tool to deliver the best medical care to his patients. He is Dr. Chris Moy, a GP practicing in Adelaide, South Australia, and also a clinical reference lead for the Australian Digital Health Agency, which is the system operator of the My Health Record service, responsible for monitoring your health record around the clock to protect the security and privacy of your details. So, for everyone who's missing pieces of the My Health Record puzzle, Dr. Chris Moy will join me on the program shortly to help you complete the picture. Make sure you stay tuned. This afternoon on Community Connect, I'm intending on setting the record straight on My Health Record once and for all. As such, I've reached out to Dr. Chris Moy, a general practitioner in Adelaide, the chair of the Federal Australian Medical Association Ethics and Medico-Legal Committee, and a clinical reference lead for the Australian Digital Health Agency, who joins me kindly on the program today to answer the questions you may have asked or may still be asking about this new service. Dr. Chris Moy, good afternoon, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Moy, most people in the community are aware by now of something called My Health Record. However, their awareness may not stretch as far as understanding what it truly is, how it works, and its significance in quality healthcare. So I guess to make it easier for people to understand what we're referring to throughout this discussion, I'll start by asking the basic question, what is My Health Record?
Sure. Look, My Health Record is a secure national online folder, a bit like Dropbox, mm-hmm. which basically is a digital folder which sits there where copies of medical documents which already exist for you mm-hmm. can be deposited and kept there to be accessed at another time by other health practitioners. Now, these documents are the very same documents that your general practitioner, the pathology labs that do the blood tests or the x-ray department have, and also the hospital have, but what they can do is, apart from sending it, say, to your GP, they can also put a copy into this folder, which is then available at another time and place. So instead of being trapped in, say, the general practitioner's system, say, after hours, for example, mm-hmm. this information is available and can be accessed by registered health practitioners at another time and place for the benefit of your health care. The other aspect of it, which is important, is that the record is also accessible by the individual. So if you have a My Health Record, you can access this record and see what's on it.
Oh, lovely. Well, I think that's synonymous to something called Google Drive for many people out there.
The big difference here is it's national in that it covers the whole country. Mm-hmm. All the information is kept within Australia. One of the rules in Australia is that health information cannot be kept by databases overseas.
Yeah.
And as I said, it only contains health information in a secure form which can be monitored.
Okay. Now, what prompted the introduction of My Health Record? We've been doing things using paper and ordinary things for many years. Why are we switching to this now?
Because we know that it doesn't work very well. The reality of it is that the various silos of health, we'll call it, which is really the different organisations, say the general practitioner, the hospital, the pathology lab, those sort of organisations all create their own files, they'll keep their own files. They may send information directly between each organisation, mm-hmm. but that's sporadic. But Unfortunately, this information is trapped in those systems quite often when it's needed because of a lack of what we call interoperability. They don't communicate very well when you really need it. So unfortunately, a lot of information transfer that occurs currently is by fax. So for example, if say you're unwell and you end up in hospital, the hospital will often give me a call as a general practitioner and say, look, can you send us some urgent information about this patient who we've never seen before?
Yeah.
So if I'm there, I'll then maybe get some information and then fax it to them. But in that situation, it's a little bit of a hit and miss with fax, and it's also not a very efficient way to do it. And quite apart from that, if I'm not there, that hospital won't get the information. So your treatment, say, in hospital will therefore be compromised by the fact that they won't have the information they need, such as things like the medications you're on, any allergies that you may have, or, you know, major medical history that you have that may be relevant to what they're doing for you.
Okay, so when can consumers start using and accessing this service?
Well, My Health Record has in fact actually been in operation since 2012. People have been able to, what we call, opt into the system for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So the system has actually been operational for that period of time. And in fact, 6 million Australians actually have a My Health Record already.
Oh, wow.
The difference being that there's been a decision by the government to move to what we call an opt-out model, which is instead of actively having to sign in and register for a My Health Record, that it goes the other way, where everybody will automatically have a record, and then individuals can decide whether they want to opt out of the system. So that's the big change, and that's why people have been hearing a lot more about it in recent times.
All right. I think you've basically touched on this a little bit in your previous response, but how will the online health record improve the delivery and management of healthcare for consumers?
I think there's probably two parts of this, which is number one, obviously, it will mean that information is available to other healthcare providers who are looking after you at the time and place that's required. So, for example, if you're travelling or if you end up in a hospital or see another GP or another doctor when you didn't expect it, they'll actually have information for the first time which they've never had before. So, for example, I will often see somebody who's come from interstate, but I will have no information about that individual, so I won't know, as I said, their medications, their allergies, their history, which really means it's very difficult for me to start. It will take me a long time to get that information, and quite often the individual won't actually know. They'll just say, well, I'm on 3 blue tablets and 1 red tablet, which really isn't very helpful at the time, and it makes it dangerous for me in terms of treating them. And we know, for example, as a result of this lack of transfer of information, that there's a lot of harm that's caused.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an idea, there's about 230,000 admissions to hospital every year because of medication incidents, we call it, which is basically situations where people have had a reaction to medications either because they're allergic to it or because they've taken a medication which they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all of these are due to lack of information, but a fair proportion of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 230,000 is a very large number when you actually compare it to the number of people that, say, for example, end up in hospital for motor vehicle accidents each year, which is about 50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, that just gives you an idea of the magnitude of the problem that occurs because of the compromise of care, because of the lack of information that health providers have when they try to treat you because they don't know what another health provider has actually assessed you as.
Now, Dr. Moy, we come to the $1 million question. How much control do consumers have over the kind of information that appears on their online health record?
They really have ultimate control, and I think that's the thing that's got to be kept in mind.
Mm.
Look, I'll take a step back and say to you, what the government's had to do in Australia, they were trying to fix a problem, which is really the incredible harm that's caused because of the disconnected health system, so all the different parts of the health system not communicating with each other.
Yeah.
So they had to try and solve a problem with that, but they also had to respect a major value that's inherent in Australian community, which is privacy.
Yeah.
So what they've done is actually set up a system where each individual has first up the ultimate choice to opt out. That means they can get off and not be a part of it. So they can say that they will remove themselves and not have a My Health Record.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, if that's not how far they want, they still want a record, they can either access it and actually look what's on it and actually control what's on it. They can do things like set up controls so that they can have a PIN number on it,
mm-hmm.
so that, say, if you go to see a doctor, you'll only be able to access it. They'll only be able to access it if you give them the PIN number.
Okay.
You can also put PIN numbers on individual documents. And in fact, you can actually remove documents that you disagree with. If you feel that a document is something that you don't want other people to know about, you can actually remove the whole document. So, for example, if there's a prescription that you aren't happy that other health providers know that you might have had, well, then you can actually remove that document completely or, again, set a restriction on the access to it. So, really, taking a step back, The main thing is this is available to people to improve the healthcare and to inform other health practitioners who will look after you, but you do have ultimate choice to opt out and ability to access and control every aspect of the record.
And people will know when someone has accessed their online health record.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the main things that comes out of this is we have a very well-developed system in Australia where every health provider has a special encrypted code or number, which is called an identifier, and every health organisation has an identifier. So when they open your record, it's logged against them. So therefore, you can in fact actually see at any time when looking at your own record, you can actually see who has opened your record. In fact, what you can do is actually check which organisation has owned the record, and if you feel as though somebody at that organisation shouldn't have been opening that record, you can actually contact the Australian Digital Health Agency and they can look further to confirm who opened it. And if somebody has opened it for reasons which are not for healthcare and against your wishes, in that situation there are significant penalties for misuse of the record.
Okay. The question to ask now is, will past medical information be added to the online health record automatically, or will it only include information that's provided after the initial setup of this service?
So there is a bit of a misunderstanding that it will contain your entire health history. No, it won't. When it's activated, so when My Health Record gets created, in this case it will be after the opt-out period, which is November the 15th, there'll be a month where there's no records, but after that, a shell record will be created, which has nothing in it. The first time that a health practitioner then puts some information in there, say your GP puts some information in there, or say a pathology lab puts a blood test result in there, What will happen then is 2 years of Medicare details and pharmaceutical details will then automatically be loaded into the record.
Okay.
So the only information going back in time is that information. But apart from that, there's no other records from the past that will be automatically added to the record. Say if you have something that you'd like put on the record, You could ask your GP and your GP could add it to the record, say an operation that you had a few years ago.
Yeah.
You could ask your GP to upload it to the My Health Record, but that won't automatically be done. So your assessment was right that really it's more of a record from the time it starts and ongoing rather than a record looking into the past.
All right. So at the moment, consumers are getting a My Health Record automatically if they don't choose to opt out.
So that will happen after the opt-out period. So the opt-out period will go to November the 15th. So At the moment, it's still what we call opt-in. So people, at this moment in time, continue to create their own record manually by contacting the Australian Digital Health Agency.
Yeah.
But after November the 15th, those people who have not opted out, there'll be a month after which a record will automatically be created for them. What you need to do then is actually go through the digital agency or through MyGov to actually get some login details and then log in, and that'll give you access to the My Health Record.
Okay, perfect. Now, the other question I wanted to ask you is, can children also have a My Health Record?
Children at this stage, although there is some discussion about this, will automatically have a My Health Record.
Uh-huh.
But, for example, if their parents don't want them to have one and they're under 14, they can actually ask for the record to be not created so they can opt their children out. Children will have a My Health Record unless they're opted out.
Dr. Moy, some consumers have expressed concern over their health information being placed online, and that's understandable. And they've questioned whether this poses any risks to their privacy and security. So I guess an important question to ask for their peace of mind is, who is allowed to have access to a person's online health record? We know obviously doctors, pathology, who else is allowed to?
Really, for all intensive purposes, it is those individuals who are health practitioners who are registered with APRA, which is the organisation which registers health practitioners, and they must be providing healthcare to you. That's the critical thing.
Oh.
So really, for all intents and purposes, they are the only ones that can do it. There has been a little bit of media about the discrepancy in the legislation as of this moment, Which did appear to give, for example, law enforcement agencies or other agencies, the ability to request the Australian Digital Health Agency to access an individual's My Health Record, but in fact that's never happened before. The agency is always required that a warrant be required. Because of this slight inconsistency in the legislation, there is currently legislation in Parliament at the moment to close that loophole so that, in fact, the only people that will be able to access the My Health Record will be health practitioners, providing healthcare, or in a situation where a judicial order or warrant is applied, so it's an official legal situation. But that's no different from a situation where, you know, a doctor is requested to provide information by court.
All right. So just to drive home that concept further and to reiterate, no government department, no law enforcement, no insurance companies or potential employers or anyone other than a healthcare provider is allowed access to your health record unless there's a court order to say so.
Absolutely. Look, I think that the critical thing is, I think a lot of people always mention about insurers. Or, you know, as you indicated, employers. That is completely illegal if it's not for healthcare purposes. So, you know, it's not the reason why the My Health Record was created. It was created to improve the health of individuals. Yeah. So you can absolutely say it is totally illegal under the current legislation, for example, for insurers to request or access information for their use. The legislation, particularly the new legislation, is extremely strong, and it pretty much restricts it to a situation where healthcare providers are accessing it for healthcare purposes to improve your health and not for other reasons.
All right. Now, despite all assurances, some people may still not be comfortable with the idea of having an online health record. You've stated that consumers have the option to opt out of this service up until November the 15th. What does this process entail?
So this is opting out. It's a very easy process. Individuals can look up myhealthrecord.gov.au and they can look at details about how to opt out. Or if that's not, and being frank, a lot of people don't have computers.
Yeah.
In that situation, they can ring a helpline, which is 1-800-723-471, and they will get assistance in terms of how to opt out of the system or to register or to set up access to their system or to set up controls. So it's a one-stop shop to get information by phone, and as I said, the website is the myhealthrecord.gov.au site.
Okay.
So they're the two ways to get information about how to do it and to actually follow through on the process.
Okay, perfect. Now, let's say a person decided they didn't want an online health record and opted out. Can they later change their mind and sign up for one?
Yes, that's a really important point. So it's not a once you're off, you'll never be able to come back on situation. It's really important to understand that individuals who decide to opt out will be able to opt in later if they want to. And it's quite understandable. For some people, their confidence level at this moment in time in something like this isn't, you know, the highest. And in that situation, it's absolutely reasonable to opt out. But later, if they feel that things are going well, then they may want to opt in a bit later because they realise the benefits are greater than any potential negatives. I think what I'd say to you is that that's exactly why it was designed this way. It was designed so that individuals have a choice because they need to decide for themselves what's important to them, any perceived or potential risk to privacy versus their healthcare. And, you know, different times of your life, you're going to have different views on that and you're going to have different confidence levels. I think my view is that we're very much on that sort of same line as we were with online banking.
Yes, that's
10 or 15 years ago when we started with online banking. I personally wasn't confident and I let everybody else get involved first. But I must say, I don't think I could live without it now because I think that's the only way I could actually function with the, you know, general inconvenience of having to go to a bank.
That's right. And sometimes people need to see something in action.
Absolutely.
To see how it works and to see how they're benefiting from it.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, for example, when they, especially say you've got complex illnesses or you're doing a lot of travelling, might suddenly realise the benefit of it. So, you know, a lot of people will think, oh, well, no, that's fine. I don't need it. I don't have too much going on with me. But then one day they realise they did have an allergy or there's a medication and they turned up at another doctor and they couldn't remember what it was or they couldn't remember the dose. Quite a common thing will happen is somebody will come in and say, I come from Sydney, would you mind writing me a prescription?
Yep.
And or this is the blood pressure tablet I'm on. And I'll ask them what dosage and they won't know. And then we're actually in a bit of bother at that point. So it makes it very difficult. Whereas my record, I'd be able to look that up and actually work out the dosage straight away. So that's the sort of convenience that would come. But again, for some people, they're not at that confidence level with something like this at this stage. So for them, opting out might be the way to go.
Certainly. So coming to our last point, if people would like more information or need to ask specific questions about My Health Record, who can they contact? You mentioned a couple of numbers before and a website, if you don't mind.
Yes, I think they're again the two places to go to. The myhealthrecord.gov.au site has a lot of information and significant information in various languages as well, if that's an issue. So there are pamphlets there, which may be able to give some information about My Health Record.
Mm-hmm.
And also the helpline 1-800-723-471 is the other place to go. It pretty much is the one-stop shop for any questions about My Health Record.
All right, fantastic. Dr. Chris Moy, with your professional insight and assistance, I think we've done a fairly good job of decoding My Health Record. And so in bringing this discussion to conclusion, I'd like to thank you for helping me clearly explain this online service to our listeners. Your contribution has been invaluable and your time with us on the program is much appreciated.
No, it's been a pleasure, and good luck to your listeners.
Just heard Dr. Chris Moy, a general practitioner from Adelaide and clinical reference lead for the Australian Digital Health Agency, explain all there is to know about My Health Record. But for those who may not have caught that discussion from the beginning or have perhaps just only tuned in, here's a recap of the main points. What is My Health Record? My Health Record is a summary of your key health information stored in a secure online folder or vault. This information is available to you and any of the healthcare professionals who are directly involved in delivering medical care to you. What kind of information will be shared on your online health record? Through your online health record, healthcare providers involved in your care can access important health information such as allergies, medicines you're taking, medical conditions you've been diagnosed with, pathology test results like blood tests, or any past surgical procedures you may have had. What are the benefits of having a My Health Record? Healthcare providers like doctors, specialists, and hospital staff can see your My Health Record when they need to. This can be particularly helpful in the case of an accident or emergency where you may not be able to answer questions about allergies, medical history, or medications you're taking. In addition to offering crucial information about your medical history in an emergency situation, an online health record can prevent mishaps such as allergic reaction to medication and being prescribed the wrong dosage of a medication. My Health Record will help keep your medical information organised in one place, which is extremely helpful if you're being cared for by many doctors, specialists or therapists. You do need to take note of the fact that a new My Health Record will not automatically include your past medical history. However, if you think some things in your past medical history are important to share with other healthcare providers, you can ask your doctor to upload that information to your online health record. As the owner or holder of a My Health Record, if you choose to have one, you have full control over what is shared on your online record and what your healthcare providers can access on your record. You can add or remove information, and you can even make changes to the privacy and security settings on your account. Some of the changes you can make are setting a record access code to give access to selected healthcare organisations, controlling access to specific documents to limit who can view them, giving access to a chosen representative such as a family member, close friend or carer. For peace of mind and so you know exactly who may be accessing your record, you can set up automatic notifications to receive an email or text message anytime a new healthcare provider accesses your My Health Record, including in an emergency. If at any point you feel that someone has accessed your My Health Record when they shouldn't have or without being directly involved in your healthcare, you can contact the Australian Digital Health Agency, who is the system operator of My Health Record, to review any suspicious activity or access your online health record. Children under 14 years will automatically be given a My Health Record unless their parent or legal guardian chooses to opt them out of that service. Children's records are managed by an authorised representative, usually a parent or legal guardian. It's important to draw attention to the fact that everyone will get a My Health Record if they don't opt out of this service before the 15th of November 2018. If you don't want to have a My Health Record and want to opt out, you can do this in one of two ways, either online at myhealthrecord.gov.au or by calling the helpline on 1800 723 471. On the other hand, if you do want a My Health Record and don't want to wait until after November the 15th, 2018, you can also visit the website and follow the instructions on how to register for one, or you may choose to call the helpline to have someone assist you with the process. And just in case you missed it the first time, that website is myhealthrecord.gov.au. That's myhealthrecord.gov.au. Or you can call the helpline on 1800 723 471. And with that, I come to the end of this episode of Community Connect. I guess here, thanks adieu to Dr. Chris Moy, who contributed to the program and shared his insight on My Health Record. As I thank you all for tuning in, inshallah, I'll be back on air with you on Monday. Until that time, please take care and goodbye.